In the wonderful name of our great God, in the wonderful name of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we invite you to stay tuned for the next 15 minutes. Sponsored Grace Broadcast, sponsored by the Grace Bible Churches. We shall be giving you some more information about our churches towards the end of the program. However, we trust that our program will give you enlightenment concerning the truth of God's Word and encouragement to do His blessed will for your lives.
Hello, dear listeners. This is Carl Natrum, pastor of the Grace Bible Church in Paddock Road, Dalkey, St. Michael, greeting you again in the marvelous name of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He who died for your sins, that you can have life and have it abundant Him eternally if you would trust Him as your Savior. We have with us pastor of the Grace Bible Church in Wellhouse, Bible Church in Wellhouse in Philip, to bring us a message from the Word of the Lord as he continues that in the book of Ephesians.
Greetings, friends. Call your attention to Ephesians in chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul speaks of himself as minister, where he introduces the concept of mystery, where he tells us something, and where he concludes by giving us his mediating stance in relation to the Ephesians, praying that God will bless them in a very special way and cause them to understand the nature of the tremendous love that brought of his dear son. And then he concludes the chapter, with a magnifying, or a magnificat, if you will, a magnifying of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we are, the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." And so we look at the beginning of the chapter. It says, "For the prisoner of Jesus, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles." And notice the Apostle Paul sees himself as one who is captivated by the Lord for his will, of accomplishing his will. You'll recall at his conversion, he said, "Now, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord told him right there on the road to Damascus, clearly, what was his will, and that he would use him not only to carry the gospel to nations and rulers as well, and that people might come to understand the blessing of the grace. This dispensation is spoken of in his ministry as well in this very chapter. He sees himself as a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, where he was writing from at this point in time was prison. And there is no indication here or in the book of Ephesians or in the book of Philippians or in the book of Colossians, there's no indication of any sadness or distress at all. Paul counted a joy to serve the Lord. And if you are saved, my friend, let us understand that it is a joy to serve Jesus. It is a joy to stay not only on the right side as far as the Lord is concerned, but to make a stand for him no matter what and no matter come what may. May God enable us to take a stand for him, and that no matter what suffering or affliction there might be, that we might count it all joy to really serve the Lord in this way. And the Apostle Paul, as a minister, sees himself in this role, given the gift of the grace of God that he might minister to others. "I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power." So he's saying that God's great effectual working power caused him not only to be called into the ministry, but also to find success in the work of God. And if you're working for God, the same power, my friend, will enable you to do God's work. We need God's power to do God's work. And let us pray that God will empower his people that they might be able to accomplish his work. At the same time, let us all who serve the Lord or who are laboring for him in any form or fashion understand that the work of God must be accomplished by the power of God. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, that is precisely why the disciples, the apostles, had to wait until they be endued with power from on high, that they might know the power of God in order to fulfill the program or plan of God and thereby find the productive ministry that God has them to fulfill. Wherefore, I was made a minister, says Paul, according to the gift of the grace of God. Let us not forget that any time we can serve the Lord or do something for God is purely the grace of God. We do nothing out of honor for ourselves or any credit for ourselves, but we must serve God because it is only of His grace that we are counted worthy to serve. The Lord Jesus Christ is to be honored and glorified in all manner of service. And the Apostle Paul stresses the idea that it is purely of grace that we are able to minister for the Lord's glory in verse 7. He is made a minister according to the gift of grace. God gives us the privilege to work. And my friend, whatever work you're doing for the Lord, you're saved and you serve the Lord. Let us remember that it is for the grace of God and by the deserve and not by any other means. So the Apostle Paul speaks of this in these terms. And then in verse 2 he says, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. And so he emphasizes his ministry, especially to the Gentiles, that they may understand that it is by the grace of God that he is serving them and being a minister of the Lord serving them. Oh, what a humble position it is for the servant of God to take. We are well reminded in the gospel account of Luke that we must appreciate the fact that when we have done all that we are supposed to do, we are unprofitable servants. In verse 2, therefore, we have that dispensation of the grace of God given unto him, just as God graciously gives you the opportunity to serve, but you cannot serve until you are saved. And this is what we dealt with in chapter 3 last time. Verse number 4 says, whereby, when we read, we may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And he goes on to say in verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And in given this definition of really and truly what amounts to the mystery, we get to appreciate then that God, who has all knowledge and who is in control of everything, is able to reveal at given points in time, according to his plan, the working of, see in Romans chapter 11 verse 25, for example, when the apostle says, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. God working out the mystery of the composition of this unique body, the body of Christ called the redeemed, the church of God, is a fact that was not well known or known to those of past dispensations. But God in the given point in time not only brought his son into the world, but also built his church in a very special constitution comprising the ministration of the Spirit. In verse number 15 of chapter 16 of Romans, he makes reference to that revelation as well. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, he now says is manifested, that all might believe and recognize the glory of God. This mystery he referred to in chapter 1 and verse 9. He also mentions here in verse 3 of chapter 3 and also verse 4, according to the mystery he mentions here as well. And he mentions it again in Ephesians and verse 9 of chapter 3. To make all men see, and let us read verse 9, you'll see. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. The constitution of God's wonderful work is that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That's what it says in verse 6 as well. So that, my friend, God in his marvelous sovereignty has so worked out a plan whereby every single person comes equal at the foot of the cross, whether Jew or Gentile, bond or free, and all must come by the way of the cross, the gospel of Christ Jesus that fulfills the promise of God, that they might become fellow heirs and partakers of that promise, according to verse 6. Now, the Bible tells us, in the ages, it was not made known unto the sons of men. But praise God, you have an opportunity to embrace that gospel, that Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, rose again, the name of the Lord shall be saved. He ever lives, not only to save, but to make intercession for us. And the Apostle Paul speaks, therefore, with reference to that mystery in the context of his ministry, that what? That all men might see. And his task and his challenge and his mandate was to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, that Christ Jesus might bring salvation to lives. And you too can know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior if you have trust him today, because Christ Jesus is the one who can minister and bring you to that joy and blessing of the unity of faith and the bond of peace. And you will then know what the Apostle Paul speaks of according to verse 8. The unsearchable riches of Christ. It is the task of the apostle, and is a blessing that the Lord Jesus gives us. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And you can know those riches, with sins forgiven, iniquities pardoned, and a wonderful home in heaven, if you trust him today as Lord and Savior. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let us pray. Oh, glory be to God. Father, I pray that you will cause us to be thankful for the revelation of so great salvation. Great was the mystery of godliness. Christ was revealed in the flesh, believed on in this world, received up in the glory. He ever lives to make intercession. And Father, I pray that there will be those this morning who will call upon him and realize there's a remedy for their condition. They need not stay where they are and lament and moan. Father, we thank thee that you can bear our burdens, you can meet our needs. Father, may nobody feel that Jesus doesn't care. Father, may everyone recognize that Jesus is the one who can meet that need, because we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear listeners, you've heard a message from the Word of the Lord, and we'd like to encourage you to contact us at 427-1054, or write us and let us know of your need that you have heard today, the grace of God working in your hearts through the Lord Jesus Christ. Or come visit us at one of our churches, where we will be glad to invite you to the Grace Bible Church in Wellhouse in Philip, or the Grace Bible Church in Birds River, Deacons Road, St. Michael, where services begin at these churches 9 o'clock every Sunday morning. Then there is a Grace Bible Church in Parrot Road, Dalkey, St. Michael. Services begin 8:30 every Sunday morning. Our churches, we have our Sunday school hour, and we have a class for every age. We would like to encourage you to send your children to Sunday school, please, or come with them, please. Sunday nights, every Sunday night, 7:15, each one of our churches, we have service of our services. Then there is the Berean Bible Baptist Church in Colleton, Six Men, St. Peter, where services begin every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock and 6:30 every Sunday evening. We're looking forward to seeing you. Until then, we trust